Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone. It's Red News Podcast 97, and this is going to be a new year one. We won't do until all the festivities that aren't festivities, because we can't do fuck all, are over. I'm going to give a long monologue. But since the last time, and this says how progress we've had under Ollie, that I was looking at it thinking, since the last one, we've got 8 points out of 4 games. And I was thinking, was that acceptable? So, you know, I saw on Twitter, I've not been posting, but I saw there was angst after a draw at Leicester. And you think, if people are moaning that we're drawing at Leicester, who are second, then there's things. And tonight, we're doing this before, a couple of days before Wolves. It's always, I know it sounds pathetic, but it's always pleasing when Liverpool don't win. So I saw Klopp wobbling his head at the ref. He always takes every setback so well. So, right, I hope you all had a good Christmas. And if you weren't really going for it this year, well, it's over. So that's good news. I'm going to end. So for anyone, please don't feel any less of me. But I'm going to end with a story that a mate said I should tell, which has been 30 years of making. So when I give the warning with about 10 minutes to go, please, anyone who's going to feel less of me and think scumbag, switch off at that point. Right. So I would say, do you reckon the Leeds wankathon that they had is over? Because I was watching that game thinking, we've scored 5, then 6, and all they're doing is praising Leeds. What the fuck was that about? Leeds are this, Leeds are that. So again, progress. We had 41 shots in 2 games. 45 shots, if you include the Leeds and the Everton Cup game. Fucking hell, lads. It's exciting what Nick's been saying. Nick's got his Vavavoom back. I will say, if you've ever seen Sexy Beast with Ben Kingsley, I'm going to do fuck off, fuck off, fuck off 2020. We've had enough of you. Bring on glory, glory Man United 2021. Nick, in the last podcast, when he did the quiz, sounded like a bingo caller. Did anyone notice that? And two fat ladies. You did well, Nick, but it sounded like a bingo caller. I did laugh at the last one when John said, he likes rum and raisin ice cream, and Steve just went, you dirty bastard. Right, I was against football coming back. I've gone full on Shane. I would have been gutted if they cancelled it. So we're going to talk moments of 2020. For me, Martial versus Watford, Bruno, that Brighton, and Cavani against Southampton, 2 moments where I've really got up and gone for it. Rashford versus Sheffield United, and the whole of Leeds game for me was as entertained and happy as I've felt, even though we're not there, blah blah. Right, then I've got the themes. Last thing, New Year's Eve, guests with managers. Now Coggy got me thinking about how miserable Klopp would be if he didn't get his own way. I'd imagine a New Year's Eve party at Klopp's would be German acid house until someone spills a glass of beer, and then he goes fucking apeshit. I'd imagine Bielsa, as Leeds manager, just sitting there, not talking to anyone at his own party, not offering anyone a drink, and he's just sitting there with a cup of tea with awkward silences everywhere. David Moyes would just want bagpipe playing, and he'd offer you, like, food that was out of date from Christmas Day. I've lost track. I've got, because Sammy Lee, seeing him with Big Sam just annoys me, that Sammy Lee is still a presence. So I just think they'd just be fucking knee deep in gravy. Right, so all that done. Coggy, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I've had quite a quiet but pleasant Christmas. So, yeah, all good fun, thanks.
Any New Year's Eve managers?
Well, to be honest, I mean, it's funny you mentioned Sammy Lee, because he'd be Big Sam for me. I mean, Big Sam's local is actually my local as well, and I have seen him in there a few times in the past, and he's good company.
You can't keep letting me fucking have to edit you out, Coggy. You can't be the Steve Rowe of edits coming in. Oh, and I did have Sean Dyke would be pissed out of his head at 9 p.m, wouldn't he? And then he'd be in a coma or vomiting in his own puke.
I think he'd be beating people. He'd be one of those. You get happy drunks and you get violent drunks. I think he'd be a violent drunk, wouldn't he? Really, like you bump into him on the way to the toilets. And the next thing you know, you're flaked out on the floor because he's headbutted you.
Right, so I've got two other things. I have liked I find it odd, and I've got a mate who texts saying it's a conspiracy. The Scousers are the only ones still allowed fans in. But it was one of the games that had crowd in that I thought it was brilliant that they booed, because whoever they were supporting didn't win and they booed. And I thought, we've waited 9 months to be at a football ground and fans still can't think, I'm here, I'm one of the lucky 2,000, I'm going to boo my own team. I thought that was brilliant.
The funny thing I saw the other day was one of the Everton games the other day, where one of the people that was watching the game had been put behind one of the pillars.
That was at Everton, wasn't it?
22,000 fans in a however many thousand seat stadium, and they're still putting right behind the pillar.
But the other thing, Nathan, on that particular game, it was their first game back. You got two blokes on the mobile phones while the game's on. You're thinking, you've waited months to get here, and you're on your frigging phone.
Yeah.
So, Shane, what was the loving about Leeds about?
I really enjoyed it. You're talking about 2020. That was one, like yourself, I watched that with the fortune of my lad, 17, being at home. So it's quite nice to watch the games with him. So we obviously enjoyed that one. But it was even during the commentary. And Leeds are entertaining. There's no denying that. But it just went on and on and on about, this is Manchester United putting six past, scoring six goals in a Premier League game. So
we had 26 shots that time.
We
had 26 shots. What's that?
I think the thing with Leeds is, like, you could sort of, like, I know this is going to sound ridiculous to say on the United podcast, but you've got to admire, in a way, the way that it was the downfall in that game, but they're always going to go for it. It's never going to be a boring match against them, I don't think. And the only thing that their issue is with them is that they've got no plan B. So that's what played into our hands in that game, because they just kept going, which left them so much room for us to just rip them apart. So I don't know. That game was so entertaining. But I think that was just because both they just didn't ever want to just sit back and just not lose by a bigger and bigger score, did they?
Yeah.
So compared that to the game a few days before when we were playing City, and neither of us wanted it. It was just it was so insane in that Leeds game that I think that's the only thing that I could sort of say, it works for him a lot of the time, but there will be games where they're just going to get ripped apart because they've got one style of play, and if it doesn't work, the gone for. But they're entertaining to watch.
Two things when I was watching it and listening, and the hype afterwards was that, and I agree with all that, Nathan. But my thought was, if that was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sending United out gung ho and conceding six, he'd get rich.
Yeah.
And the second thing was, in admiration of Leeds, I guess, was the, well, that's probably the wrong word for Leeds, but you know what I mean,
was the fact that they,
credit to the players, the mentality, the resilience, they just kept on going. And, to have conceded four or five goals and keep on trying to play and keep getting stuck in, so they were drawing the game, I thought, that says a lot about the mentality. It did annoy me, the fact he was getting dressed up as though, in some ways they were the better team. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to be the chip on the shoulder, but when you have 26 shots, you've had six. Sometimes we'd say it's disproportionate, like Lampard not getting stick. And he's not. Hang on, you look at the table, and I'll go to Nick quickly. But I've never liked the Ollie in or Ollie out, because we're all Reds, we all care. It shouldn't be like a childish, I'm this, I'm that. We should all be seeing it, hopefully, as objectively as we can. And when we have doubts, point them out. And when we think this is on a positive run, it shouldn't be, I'm Ollie in, fuck you. And every win, it shouldn't be pinpointing, you wanted him out. We're all just United. And I've often said, be more collective. But also, we've given Ollie, I'm going to go to Nick because he's backed him pretty much all the way through. But we give Ollie stick. Now, whether you argue about Dan James versus Leicester, whether that was the right call, but he put him in. And I said I had a feeling he would against Leeds. And he said before the game, I've got a feeling, that he's going to have a valuable impact today. So he made a big call and he got a good performance out of James, who's taken a lot of shit again. And I think, at the end of the game, MUTV showed it was Phelan, Carrick waiting to the very last. They were the last off with James, giving him a hug. And I thought sometimes you've got to appreciate where we say, like, Ollie's deficient in tactics and that, that when he gets it right, maybe you do see. So, Nick, you're full on knob out Ollie all the way. So you must be feeling a bit vindicated after saying that we shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, you said that about Dan James. I mean, I think he won the ball back, didn't he, for the first goal yesterday? He didn't have the best of the games, but, you know what you're going to get out of him. I quite like him defensively. I think he's more of a fullback, a modern wingback, if you will. I think that's probably his best role because, obviously, he's got his pace and to use that forward. I mean, I'm delighted at the moment. Don't get me wrong, you know, we're in such a decent position in the league considering how tight it is. And you look like we could win, you know, the next five games on the bounce, and it doesn't matter who they're against. But at the same time, if you still got that frailty where you could go on and lose the next five games. You know, we've had some great matches since the derby. We've scored plenty of goals. The football's been great to watch. There's nothing to complain about, really, over the last few games. Apart from, you know, the negative is, you know, when you play Sheffield United, we play Leeds and Leicester, we conceded two goals against them in our last three league games. You know, we sort of start with one hand tied behind our back because we kind of need to score three goals in order to win a game, which luckily we did against Sheffield United. Luckily we did against Leeds. We'll score more than that. But then, you know, you get Leicester, and if you don't take up your chances, again, you're two goals down. That's just where we're at. That's the only negative at the moment, but at least it's exciting to watch. Like, my missus has never watched a game of football with me yet in 9 years of being with her. She was watching that yesterday. She was gripped to it, you know, then to end. It was a decent game of football. You know, and that's how it should be, and it's starting to attract in maybe a few more neutrals. And as I said, I'm only using her as a barometer, but I think that's a good sign.
Should appreciate that little appreciation. But Nick, you say that it's only entertaining, but that should be the prerequisite as a starter for a lot of United fans. That's all. Sometimes some, including myself as I've got older, is if it's entertaining. And look at the stats we posted. And if you see, like, a pattern emerging, I know it was your mate Coggy Tim Long, but, you know, that we've scored, what is it, in the time since Fergie, we've scored seven times or something, five or more under Ollie, and we'd only done it twice before that. Then United have scored two or more on 11 consecutive away games. And you think, that is a pattern. I know the defence. Come on, the defence is, you know... And I don't know how, if the rumours of Vic being out for a long time or they're delaying an op and he's going to need it soon, then who he puts in, because Bally still scares me, really. But it's nice to look forward to United games. And I have a general, I start off a match and I feel a general, like, sink in my stomach that we're not there. And then I start buzzing about it. And then you're just transported when at a time when we need it. Sorry, Shane.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like I said before, like I both at the same time don't like football behind closed doors because you take the Leeds game. Imagine what that would have been like at Old Trafford. Four goals in front of, you know, just in front of where I sit, for example, and the place would have been bouncing. They would have brought a noisy following. It would have been a great atmosphere. But equally, much I don't like football behind closed doors, it's the one thing that I look forward to during all this because it takes away from the shit fest that's going on around. I can sit my lad. It just takes you away from all the bad news. And United, as you've all said, have become entertaining again. I think the only, I guess it's both a positive and a negative for me, is the fact that I was annoyed at the end of yesterday because we hadn't won the game, whereas actually it was quite a decent point. But I would, you know, we talk about the defence quite a lot. I still think that, I know we're scoring a few goals, but we're missing a lot of chances. You know, United are creating a lot of chances, and you know, Rashford missed two sitters yesterday, and you can't do that at this level.
But that's
a work in progress. I'm not going to hammer them for it, but it is a weakness.
But I thought, Shane, I know, like, and Rashford has to be, you know, you want him to be a 1-in-2 rather than 1-in-3 striker. But the header was a bad. But I thought the clean through was actually a good save from Kasper Schmeichel because he hit it in an air. No, none of you agree with that.
I disagree with it because, he had a strong hand, but it was at the perfect height for the keeper. You know, he wanted power and direction, but, you know, he could have finished that better, I think.
Am I being unfair? I thought De Gea could have done better for their goal, but I know Nick was saying that Hoddle was saying he was blinded by Bally in the way.
Their first goal off the scene could have done better for that one. I mean... you know, he was the last line of defence. But my God, the way we cocked that up.
But then,
we're having this come that we're kicking on. The fact that I'm moaning about a couple of missed chances means that there's nothing else to moan about, and we're creating lots. So we're starting to be disappointed with what is a good draw against a team.
But that's what I mean.
It's a good measure.
But what I loved was Bruno afterwards did a great interview, you know, and he said that I loved seeing the dressing room flat after it, because it was sort of hinting, reading between the lines, that, you know, he's starting to see a desire and a hunger that's a disappointment. And I loved the way he said afterwards, I asked about all these games running up, and he said, I've played football as a kid every day. I'm happy to play football every day. And I thought, that's just a... Now, all of you, is his the best debut year for a United player, or certainly in generations? 31 goals or assists in 29 games. What, one player, we're going to make one mention of next fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Coggy said, what Tom Brady did, what Bruno's done, should have been... We've been through this before, but what one player can do for you, imagine what two or three... Nick, don't mention that.
I'm being good. You told me I wasn't allowed to mention it, so I wasn't mentioning it. But no, you're right. You get this one player that transforms it, and we saw, you know, the difference that we got when we got Van Persie when we last won the league, and what he made for us in his first season. And I'd say that season was in that bracket of what Bruno's done. I'd probably say it was better, because we went on and won a trophy at the end of it, and we've not quite done that yet with Bruno. But you're right, you know, you get this one player that's in there that can raise the game. It's what we were hoping from Maguire, really, from the defence, wasn't it? I mean, not to go back around that debate, because I don't mind it, but you know, that's kind of what we were hoping out of him. And Bruno's managed to come in and really show that fighting desire in the midfield, where we've just not really had, you know, A, a leader, or B, of anyone of any real aggression or quality in there. And he's come in and ticked up all those boxes, and I just think he's fucking brilliant. And I, and the thing is with Bruno, what really annoys me is that I've got a lot of people that I speak to about football, mainly at work, and not one of them puts him in the top players in the Premier League. I'm not saying he's the best or anything like that, but I think he's in the conversation. From what he does to a game, the way that he makes, you know, creates chances of, you know, the first goal yesterday, I thought that was a terrific assist. Definitely meant that.
Yeah,
I thought. See a few people on Twitter said that he didn't mean it. The way that he takes his goals, you know, that finish against Leeds was terrific. You've seen that one against Istanbul in the Champions League. The man is of utmost quality. He's one of the best players in the Premier League. And, you know, just to echo what you said, if you can get another one or two of them around him, oh, definitely, we'll be well in a shout.
But that's why you don't want it to end. You know, I know Woodward's already written off January business, but you think this is the moment. What would Fergie be saying? If Ollie wants to echo and likes it, what would Fergie say? You've got a chance. And as I said to you last time, Ollie told the players they've got a chance. And it's not unfeasible. We have got a chance. We're in the mix. New Year's Day, we are in the mix, which is what Fergie was said. Coggy, best. You've seen United a lot longer than us, you old bastard. Best debut season, or?
Well, I would compare him, and people might be shocked by this, but I would compare him with the signing of Cantona. And I'll tell you why. Because what Cantona did, not only did he do it on the pitch, he changed the mentality and the attitude of the players. And that's what Bruno's doing. You know, that bit about the changing room was flat yesterday. That wouldn't have happened 6 months ago or 9 months ago or anything. So I agree. I mean, I'd put him up there with Cantona's first season and Cantona coming to the club. He has made that much of a difference. He's been absolutely superb.
And what I'm saying about progress is that suddenly we're saying Leicester's not a thing, and you can't get too giddy, because, you know, we've got to call out Ollie when he makes mistakes. I think he's almost wanting or forcing the issue of Martial, Nick, leave it, that he's forcing the issue of Martial to hit form by playing him. But I think a lot of us said hindsight wonderful and all that, but if Cavani starts yesterday, we win that game. And he needs to now, Ollie, be brutal in terms of Martial's not in form. I know he scored against Everton. You make that call as when Cavani is available, he is your starter now until he proves, you know, because he's in form, he's winning us games, and he's done everything right since he came in. So you can see us winning games more with Cavani than Martial. But I think Ollie's forcing the issue of Martial. Nick, keep it civilised.
Well, I mean, you're right. I don't think you can say any better than that. I know Martial scored against Everton in the week, but you know, we're already winning, it's on the counter-attack, he's outnumbered. I'm not really going to give him that goal, regardless of me hating him or not. I didn't really give Cavani his. And in fairness, I didn't give Cavani his when he's 3-1 and he's like 1-on-1 with the keeper and, you know, it's the 95th minute or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's nice that you get the game sewn up. You know, but I just think that Cavani, you see him come on and create the impact for the pass straight away. And, you know, his work rate is just something else that gives, you know, defenders that you play against something else to think about. Whereas if I'm a centre-half and I'm playing against Martial, he's got no movement. Like, he must be the easiest job in the world being a centre-half against Martial. If he's got the ball and he's running at you, yeah, you're probably going to be a little bit more afraid of him. But when does he ever really get the ball? He doesn't drop in space to get it, you know, apart from the odd game here and there where he decides that he's ass. But
I've read it that he's a good player with link-up play, and maybe I'm being unkind in, or I'm ignorant, because I can be ignorant in my football view, and I'm not an intelligent football watcher. I'm a bit, you know, watch the ball and come on. Does anyone think he's a good link-up player, Holt? Nathan?
Yeah, I mean the guy's not a natural centre forward, is he? Interestingly, though, he actually took less games to score 50 league goals for United than what Rashford did, which I was quite surprised about, to be honest. But he's not a natural centre forward, but he's improving in some of that areas. I mean, for me, Cavani should be starting, but if he's going for a front three of Greenwood, Martial and Rashford, I'd stick Greenwood in the middle and Martial on right and Rashford on left, or vice versa, because I think they offer more that way. But Cavani fit, he should be starting, but he's still suspecting him fitness wise, and that's the reason why he's not started as many games. But
yeah, but I wonder if you'd ask him whether he'd think that, because he posted a picture on his buddy. He was running yesterday after Leicester on the treadmill at 9. So, till he's knackered, take him out.
If you ask Phil Jones whether he's good enough to play for Man United, he'd say yes, wouldn't he? So, you know, let's not take the footballer's opinion all the time.
Nathan, you're a bit more objective than your mate.
I think the one thing about Martial is that I think it. Like yesterday, I was getting frustrated with him because he doesn't ever look arsed, does he? You know, like, he has moments where he'll look great and stuff, but the most of the time, he's literally just... I know that all players aren't running around all the time or whatever, but I don't know, maybe we're just more conscious of it because he's always the one under the spotlight, like, particularly amongst us, but... There's times where he just looks like he's just wandering about and he just doesn't really give a shit. And that's what's frustrating.
But are we missing something in him?
Now that we've got Bruno on the pitch who he's even, you know, he's giving his everything for the team all the time. It makes it stand out even more that when someone else on the pitch isn't giving that. And I can imagine it's very frustrating for the players who really do give a shit to see that. You know,
The one thing, I mean, like, I've criticised Fred enough times, but he, as a mate, you know, like Ollie, but he's also had a good month. He's had a really good month. And McTominay against Leeds was absolutely fucking sensational. So we were saying a few months ago, you know, McTominay's sort of plateaued. But you can see what a run of games and confidence does for this United. We're still baffling. Do I trust hand on heart that we'll get 6 points out of the next two home games? No, but if we did get 6 out of the next two home games, and to think where me and Nick had, we ended up in that bar after City in the League Cup. Nathan was too pissed off, he went home. And I was really, no, but I was really emotional with it. Really. I know it's not a competitive, but I just felt absolutely like, more than the Burnley, that we'd been kicked in the bollocks. So it's almost like, to think we've got here by the end of the year, in the oddest year we'll ever experience. Fair play to Ollie, fair play, I would say, his decency. I wouldn't want to be at his New Year's Eve party because it would just be so nice. Can you imagine if anyone has a joint out the back, they'd be so fucking guilty for the rest of the night. Shane?
I think Ollie's would be a better New Year's Eve party. I was thinking of who I wouldn't want to go to a New Year's Eve party with or have dinner with or something would be. And I thought, Mourinho, because you met Mourinho, would just sit there and tell us all about how he's done brilliantly this year and all the things he's achieved. despite the pandemic, despite having his hand tied behind his back by his chairman. So, yeah, I think Ole would be a relatively nice New Year's Eve. But, yeah, I think he would let anything go. It'd be too
really
nice. Yeah, I think if he said, I want to have a joint or I want to get the amaretto out, Ole, he would sort of go, oh, shit, I can't upset him to do it. So I think he'd be right, actually, yeah.
I think Ole would say, what's a joint? What's
amaretto? I kind of think, going back to Martial, like, for me, I think it was said yesterday, I used to be quite accusing of him being lazy, but the more I see him, I do think he's got a real confidence issue. And I know it might just not cut out for United, because I think he has the natural ability, but just when his confidence goes, he just seems to shy away from the ball, shy away from chasing it down. And I think he's the one player, if you look at Bruno coming in, we hope that, you know, Nick said about Maguire, we hope before that it would be Pogba, that you get a player come in, they have such an impact, they lift the other players, they drive them on. And those two didn't, but Bruno's come in and he's actually made the others better players, not just in their, like, their skill, but in their work rate. And Martial's the one for me that has kicked on with Bruno in the team. The others, more or less to a man, have all improved since Bruno joined, and I don't think Martial has. So I think that is a bit of a concern. But Cavani should be starting for me yesterday, and I think even more so that he could potentially be at a ban coming up. So you want to kind of get his legs used now and rest someone else and get them back when Cavani's banned. So if he does get banned. So I thought that was an odd decision. But
can you imagine the drink up after Leeds? What would that have been like? Jesus, journeys home for Reds and everything. It would have been a good.
Yeah, that would have been brilliant.
But Pogba, I still think he's trying to maybe think he could get a move in January. But he's had his best month for a long, long, long time. And I'm surprised he didn't start at Leicester, even though we've done certain arguments to death, Martial, Pogba. But is he going to win us games of football? Possibly at the moment.
It does look like he might do. I mean, I know we've got Coggy's second favourite side, Wolves, aren't we next? And I just think that he's going to be probably pretty key in that game as well, because you're going to need someone that's going to have that bit of answer creativity. But he, like you say, he looks like he could actually do something at the moment. I wouldn't have started him yesterday. I wasn't surprised to see him on the bench, because I think he was always going to go in a big game against a good side with Fred McTominay. That's what he tends to do against, you know, Paris Saint-Germain. He's done it against City. You know, we'll probably use them against Scousers in a couple of weeks. So don't think that was a surprise. And Pogba's more this impact player of what we've all been saying for weeks, that's how we should be using him, you know. 60 minutes, bring him on, last half, and let's see what he can do.
Well, I thought of the Martial thing that someone put, that, you know, that really you play Cavani for 60 minutes and then you bring Martial on as an impact sub, because that's the better option. Has anyone got any more New Year's Eve managers, or have we done that to death?
I've got a few.
Go on then. Come on, Nick. Come on.
Well, I'd like to definitely go partying with Big Sam. I think, can't believe no one said Big Sam yet, you know. I think Coggy mentioned him, but I mean, he's more Mike Bassett than Mike Bassett is. Could you imagine him? That'd just be a night full of, like, beers, coffee, you know.
Someone's put tonight, he's going to celebrate with a doner kebab bath bomb. Come on then, Nick, come on.
I think Bielsa would be the worst one of the evenings. Like, he can't speak a word of the Queen's. You'd have to listen to him gibber on in Spanish all night. You wouldn't know what was going on. His house would have no furniture. He'd make you sit on a bucket. And then all night, he'd be sat there explaining to you about how his craft gin is better than any other craft gin that's available, even though he's never made gin. That's what he's like. What was he rambling on about after the game? About how they performed better than we did. It's like, Jesus Christ. Finished 6-2.
Yeah, but that's because
Moyes would be shit as well, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Moyes
would. Imagine how shit David Moyes would be.
This is the problem. I don't know half the other managers. Like the one that John said, the Brighton manager would be a terrible night. He'd want to watch like David Lynch early films from the 1970s, and it would just be a bleak evening ahead.
How about if we get Arteta, get him pissed and shave his eyebrows off? That would make Shane happy, wouldn't it?
Well, I was thinking, actually, what would make me happy was, am I imagining that Frank Lampard's is related somehow to Harry Redknapp?
They are related.
You'd have Harry Redknapp lining up all sorts of dodgy January transfers, and then Christine Brinkley would be bored in the corner and you could make the move.
I think it would be odder, Shane, if your imagination was true and that wasn't reality. Like, who would imagine Jamie Redknapp would be a relative of... No, hang on. Oh.
Just imagine being at David Moyes' house at New Year's Eve. We'd be the type of person that sat there in a room reminding everybody how Jules Holland's Hootenanny was pre-recorded, and you'd have to let everybody know that he once went and once got tickets in the 70s. He'd just be right boring bastard, wouldn't it? Which would probably make the party slightly more interesting, because he seems like a bit of a character.
If you're abusing me, I'm going to edit it out. Right, so go on. What's your moments of 2020 then, good and bad, apart from obviously the batshit has been fucking terrible. Hang in there, everyone. Take care of yourselves, obviously. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even look at the bad parts about it, because we, you know, that's fairly obvious. But the good things, from a match going point of view, you know, Bruges away, absolutely fantastic trip. Especially that bar that we found upstairs, that found for us. Also, that rib place. I don't know if people know, but Barney booked an all-you-can-eat ribs place. It was on the night before the game. 10 of us turned up, and Barney was the only one that didn't have all-you-can-eat ribs. I don't know why he chose that restaurant. I think he had fish or something.
I had steak, but I really regret. I don't know why I got it in my head. I don't know. Don't ask me.
God knows why he did that anyway. Just going back to on the pitch, though. That goal against City, when we beat them 2-0, the cleverness of Fernandes flicking it over the City defence for Martial to score. I mean, I know it wasn't perfectly executed, but it was just pure bliss. It was absolutely superb, and that's what Bruno brings to the team, doesn't he? He brings that bit of creativity and difference.
What's your best goal of the year, Coggy?
The what? Sorry.
Best goal or best moment? Actual. One individual.
Mine's got me. Sorry.
I think it was that City game when we beat them 2-0. The goal from Martial, and then that last minute winner. I don't want to rub this in, Barney. I know you weren't there.
We're not, mate. It's gone. We jettisoned it last podcast.
Neither, to be fair, I missed them at so many ones. Because I felt so guilty that you didn't get in. I went out and started selling before that went in. I thought I was the final whistle.
Go on, Nathan.
In fairness, though, since lockdown, we have scored some cracking goals, haven't we? I mean, there's a lot of brilliant goals since lockdown.
I said the away ends would have been absolutely fantastic. Some of the days out we would have had, Jesus. Yeah. We've had fun when we've been shit. Imagine now we're starting to get a bit better, how good it had been. Go on, Nathan. Sorry, mate.
Oh, I was just going to say that last goal against City that McTominay scored, that moment was just, I don't you know, it would have been an amazing moment anyway, but I think the knowing that was literally the last, you know, bit of live football we were going to see, like, I think looking back, it makes it even more special, you know, even though it was special to start with, but I think... Yeah, that was good.
You're smiling, Nathan. You've just been put back in there. You went into a happy place then.
That's the thing. Because no matter who it's against, it would have been, like, looking back at the last game. But yeah, it was class. It was good.
Shane?
Yeah, I think for me, I agree with Coggy, the Bruges. I didn't go to LASK. I know it's behind closed doors and... We know a few that travel, but I didn't travel. But the Bruges was the last Euro away for me, and there was a good crowd of us went. So, you know, quite a few of us went and had a good time. So that's a highlight of the year for me, really. I think I thought, like, I was reflecting on what I missed, and like a simple one, Norwich at home. I think
that was good.
I think Nathan, you and I had a quiet pint in a pier hat. We might have even done a podcast and had a bit of a laugh. And I think. That to me, just a simple thing of going to a match, United scoring four goals and having a nice pint half would be good.
Yeah,
and
but
there was also some.
I love the way. Love the way Shane goes. We might have. You haven't stopped talking about that topic since.
And then I was always against behind closed doors, but I think the highlight for me, funny enough, was the Cavani goal against Everton, because I was watching it with my lad, and you know, we're very lucky compared to other people, you know, etc. So no complaints, but. you know, it's Christmas, you know, he's 17 years old, looked away from his girlfriend, etc. You know, I can't get up with some of my mates. And that Cavani goal for a moment, you know, I literally jumped out of the chair. It was a proper celebration. Yeah. I thought, yeah, that United has taken me away from the crap for an hour and a half. So that's brilliant, yeah. And then the other highlight for me is a weird one, non-football, was Gillian Anderson appearing as Maggie Thatcher in The Crown. I don't watch The Crown, but I saw some footage, and it's really messed. It's kind of like probably had more of an impact on my mind than anything this year. Because, you know, I love things. Like Gillian Anderson playing someone I don't really like, but it's confused my brain, but it's fascinated me more than I could ever explain to you.
I dread to think. I seriously... Yeah. Dread.
That is worrying. I do feel sorry for Shane now.
But I will say, Cavani, to drag it back to United, Cavani's movement is a joy to watch. And I've said it before, you know, but you do not appreciate someone like that until you've got your bias towards them rather than against them. And he's class. And here's one. I'm going to go to you, Nick, about your memory. But Maguire gets stick, and I know we want him to be more of a leader and captain, but he has played 4,500 minutes, which doesn't sound that much, of football this year, but it's 400 minutes more than anyone else, I think, in world football. So he's played the equivalent of six games more and been used. So sometimes, you know, he's had all that shit going on in the summer. So sometimes I think, I don't know, I can sort of get the argument that we want more of him, but I sometimes think we're being a bit unfair because of his price tag. Right, Nick, moments?
Well, on the Maguire point, I think you're right, though, as well. I think that he's playing so much football. But he doesn't seem to look tired. He doesn't look like Phil Jones kind of knackered.
No one looks like that.
I think the best moment so far, 2020, without a doubt, from United point of view, is if you can ever win a game after the final whistle, how can anything be better than that? There's nothing more Man United than that. And the amount of pissed off people... And that's what Man United is all about for me. Is I love winding people up, you know, and that for me was just brilliant. It's like, yeah, it don't matter, but you've won a game after the final whistle. You've not, another thing we can put, not in your trophy cabinet, but it's another thing you can use over the opposition and over your rivals. And I fucking love that. I mean, I hate VAR massively, but I tell you what, though, that's going to give me some ammunition forever and ever and ever, because you're not going to see that for a very, very, very long time.
I will say, Nick, your positivity does, because sometimes I was getting proper miserable with it, and I thought I have to give my head a wobble. Like, you know, it's just not healthy in a lockdown. And I will say I'm advantageous. I'm not meant, but to have a 5-year-old at Christmas meant for me the excitement he had. Sort of for two days, you didn't really think about the shit going on. It was just nice to have that. I mean, like Christmas Eve, we were watching the Santa app where he was, and he went to bed, and I poured a glass of wine, and I just stared at where Santa was. And I was thinking, I'm staring at a make-believe to see where he is. I can tell him what time he landed, you know. So, but Nick, I will say, you know, the positivity you showed and a bit more faith. And I'm not saying it could all go tits up, but it's nice to believe, especially right now. And I still think the decency Ollie has shown, he never fucking threw any players under a bus. Wouldn't it be great if this is the start of something, not another false dawn? Right, so now, what was your moment, Nick? That?
Well, it's the Brighton away, winning the game after the final whistle.
And how did you... Right, so, and thanks to everyone, obviously, supported the mag. Thanks to Ado for... offering a few nice, kind words. And I will say, someone saying, you know, like, United is much about the match-going crowd, and they put, remember your mum, my mum, I've said this before, but they were selling Cantona watches that were about 3 foot tall, gold Cantona watches that looked like they'd been made with 50 pence. And I said to a mate, as we left to go back to Piccadilly, who the fuck in their right mind is going to buy that? And then mum gets on the train with a big fuck off 3 foot Cantona watch, and someone reminded me of it. Phil, he's a good lad. So the walk, you Nick and Nathan, we raised 1,800 quid for a great cause. And I will say, I got a bit of stick for my 5 hours with 20K. I was fucked after six. I don't know why. I'd done 18 kilometres a couple of weeks ago, which was easier. I was absolutely, my legs was seizing up. So, but we did it. And for me, that was a thing. I know you two, you bloody ran 10K and Nathan hobbled. How is your shoulder as well, Nathan?
I'm fine, yeah, it's fine now, but I just didn't want to risk it, did I? I still wanted to do it. The one thing I think I mentioned at the time is I do think it's strange that there's no plaque or anything. I know that apparently there used to be, but there isn't anything now at the site of where the original in Newton Heath. I think that's definitely something, I don't know how you go about raising that, but that's definitely should be something there. That, like, there's the plaque on the, is it Bank Street?
Yeah.
Where the second one was near the velodrome, there's a plaque on the one of the terraced houses there, but there doesn't seem to be anything for the original one. That's definitely something that there should be. But yeah, the walk was good. My work is literally right next to where that original ground was, because I work in the building that was the Sharp Electronics building, which again is quite a nice time with United. So I just thought I'd walk from there to Old Trafford. It was about 15K. Yeah, it was good.
You've been past it quite a few times.
Was it uphill, Nathan? Because Nick ran uphill.
I know, apparently. He'd not mentioned it.
I definitely think my 20K was on gradients. I think mine 20K was on gradients. That's why it became so difficult. But you've been past Old Trafford obviously a lot, Nathan, because you're nearby. What's it? Do you feel any emotions going past it, or does it just feel?
I went last week. I went past a few hours before the Leeds game, and it was a good few hours before, and it was all fenced off, and there was like a lot of stewards around, and it's obviously strange not being able to. It's just weird knowing that there's, especially seeing as like I've pretty much been to every game for the last like 8 seasons, whatever. It's weird to think that there's football going on there and we're not there. The away games the saddest thing is a lot of the time I don't even know if we're playing home or away, like from game to game, because if I'm not going, then I don't really pay much attention to that. But the away games, when I'm watching them, I don't mind so much. But it is weird. It's still weird.
It's all just so much of a head fuck. I said to Shane, you know, that you think you can't do anything now, but there's some people who are going to football matches, which just feels just like, I don't know. It's like, it just sums up our batshit. Right, I'm going to get on this theme, and then please don't think less of me, lads. And anyone now is seriously time to quit this podcast. The story is called The Mummified Penis, if that gives you an indication. Right, so it stems from a mate saying you should tell people, because what I'm trying to say is your lowest points in life sometimes have humour, dark humour in them. And also, when they feel like your lowest moments, they're never really. I've got a mate who's a really good lad. He got divorced and his divorce papers came through and he went to a museum. And this is his left or right moment. He said that basically no one in his life, it didn't matter whether he went left or right. So he didn't know whether to go left or right because none of it mattered. No one cared anymore. Like, there was always somewhere he was going. But at this point, he felt unloved and it became like left or right. So he said, I stared and stood at that space for 10 minutes. So my story is, when I was younger and a bit more dafter, and I didn't do anything particularly bad, but I was going out with a girl. I'm going to do, is it Simon? What did they used to do on the Radio 2 programme? Slow music in the background. Anyway, a girl dumped me, and that was upsetting enough. Even worse was about a week later getting a call saying you should actually be checked out because I think you might have something. And it was like, what the fuck? So I get an STD.
So it's looked.
No, well, the test was bad enough. It's never made me look at a cocktail stick in the same way. The worst thing was I got it. Sod's law, it wouldn't go away. This wasn't a pleasant one either. So it got so bad and so persistent that I led a saintly life. Antibiotics wouldn't clear things up. So you're a number at these places. So you're M. I can still remember my number. Anyway, it got so many regular visits, the receptionists, who are not supposed to say your name, were going, hello, Barney, you sit down there. So I was going a lot. The last port of call a year on was they said there's only one thing left now, and it involves a scalpel, scraping, and lots of injections. So, this was me going, scalpel, awful. I can see, it still brings tears to my eyes. So, I go there, and the man I've been seeing for a long while, he says, I can play dolphin music if you want. So I said, what do you mean? He says, just to put your mind at ease, I can put some dolphin music on. I said, just get on with it. I'd rather you just did. So anyway, multiple injections, a scalpel, everything goes all right. This was probably one of my low points until I found out of real hell in life. But that, I am bleeding profusely. The man says, right, you've got to take seriously strong antibiotics. First question, can I have a pint? He then says, it'll be like pissing razor blades for 3 days. So feeling low, I rang my dear friend Rob, who's no longer with us, so I miss every day, who would eventually take his own life. And as ever, as a lovely friend he was, he said, let's go and have a drink. So the point of my story is, we go and have a drink, one or two. I'm now very sore. I'm wearing about 3 pairs of boxer shorts to stop the blood oozing out. And I finally need to go for my first piss. I go to the toilet, wrapped like Tutankhamun in so many bandages. There's a bloke next to me. This moment is captured in my head. He looks at me. And then he does what some blokes do in toilets, which I've never worked out. He looks down and he sees what could only be described as a bloodied mess. And it is at that precise point that I take the first piss that will lead to the razor blade sensation that the doctor has described, to which I scream out and the bloke screams and runs out the door. Whether he thought it was some kinky game I was playing. It was, who was screaming more, me or him? The point of this is that I say it because life can be so fucking odd, and you've all survived the toughest year that we'll ever hopefully face. There'll be horrors ahead, but please, everyone. And from that point, I had a good drink with my mate Rob, who I miss. You can just dig in whatever, and the worst is sometimes something you can laugh back in years to come. Right, lads, please don't feel less of me for that.
Can I just ask, Barney, as with you getting, with Barney, with you having an STI, has Steve-O been checked?
This was many decades ago. I can tell it now. If they're releasing documents on New Year's Day, 30 years government-wise, I can. Nick, you look appalled. Please don't look appalled.
Literally can't think any less of you, so it's not a problem.
We all make mistakes in life, and I learned my lesson there and then.
And I think it's brilliant, Barney. I think it's brilliant.
And I can safely say that the pain of passing was unbelievable. But then, like Lazarus, we all attempt. Shane, don't, please. Please don't.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to look like after listening to that story.
Just a minute, Barney. Shane thinks Deidre Barlow's a middle place. Well, story's nowhere near as bad.
Well, what
as
I will say, obviously, obviously for this podcast,
the young Deidre, not the,
For the podcast, it matters ratings, because obviously we've got no backers, we're just small, that ratings matter. And I noticed on iTunes the other week, someone put 1 star. These people, it says something like that, dismissed buying Sancho. Disgusting. It just says something like that. And I thought, well, wait till they fucking hear this. Right, so come on, Nick, positivity.
Well, it's the same. It must have been the same person who maybe reviewed it 5 star for Nathan's Iranian story at the start of the year on this podcast, which I had to say was my non-footballing highlight of the year, because that was a very, very good one. I'm just absolutely bouncing at the moment. I see us being within every game, you know, even if it goes goal or two down. I just just don't. I don't feel necessarily like it's all doom and gloom like it was in the bad old days under Van Gaal or whatever. You know, we scored 4 goals in 1 half against Leeds, and I think for something ridiculous like half the season, we didn't see a goal in our end of the pitch, did we? For like 6 months, and it's like you think, fucking hell, we don't know the ball at the moment. We still, it's not where we want to be, and I get that, but fucking hell, compared to where it was, it's so much better. But I just feel like at the moment we're not down and out in any game of football. You know, I can't see us ever being 3 goals down. And if we're 2 goals down and there's time still on the clock, it feels like the Man United of old in that kind of respect, at least, where, you know, we can always get something back from it. And fair fucking play to Ole, because, you know, there's not many managers out there that could still come with urgency and get people back into a game. And, you know, you can criticise him for being down in the first place, but he's right. He's made the right adjustments. He's making much better substitutions. We've given him so much shit, haven't we, for the 2 years he's been here, for not making subs soon enough or not making the right ones. And now he's built this team where he's got a squad. And, you know, look at the bench yesterday. You've got Van der Beek, Pogba, Cavani, Greenwood. You've got 4 or 5 world-class players that are on the bench, or near enough world-class players that you can bring on and make a real difference. I'm in such a good place about Man United at the moment. I'm not saying we're going to do anything anytime soon, but I see the way that this squad is being built at the moment, and I can't help but smile about it. It fills me with genuine happiness. And
no, I do love that, Nick.
With a trophy this season, that'd be absolutely amazing.
Because we've got a chance.
Happens with a United person who just, not only as we keep going around the whole thing, it gets United and does, but, you know, the way that he's building this squad at the moment, and he's not finished. It takes time to build a proper team over years, and just the way that he's going about it at the moment just fills me with such confidence, because I don't think there's many managers out there that could do it under such moronic ownership, or, you know, under fucking Ed Woodward's tutelage of going out there and buying players. And he just seems to be getting things right at the moment. And for that, I just think that everyone should be really, really appreciative of him.
And I would say you must be in the happy place, because you've just said 5 world-class players on the bench. I'd dispute that a little bit. But no, and I do laugh that Louis van Gaal has the usual Moyes and Joe, you know, the revisionism, him saying, you know, about our play, and then Jose saying, I wanted more time. Mate, you couldn't have wanted. You had the rubber dinghy thrown over the bloody thing. You know, come off it. You look so miserable. Right, anyone else to add to that? Shane, Coggy?
So I was just reflecting, forget all the other stuff that's gone in the year. Little did we know the shit fest that was ahead. But on the 1st of January, I think I had a pint with you, Barney, before, you know, we were at Arsenal, and I think Kerry was there, Kerry Davis and Paul. Connor was coming along. You know, New Year's Day, we had a couple of pints, Arsenal away, and we were absolutely diabolical. And everyone in the media afterwards was talking about Arteta, and now look what he's done to Arsenal, and look where Ole's taken us. And then here we are coming to the end of the year. Arsenal, you know, up until the last game, were being talked about in a relegation battle, and we're being talked about as outsiders, admittedly, but title contenders. And I said the last podcast that, and I was quite negative at that stage, I admit it, but I said the last podcast that we'll be playing Liverpool on January the 16th or whenever it is, with a chance to overtake them. And I still think that we'll be playing them to go, potentially to go top of the league. So
fist bumps.
It's incredible. You think, you know, January the 1st of this year, we were down and out. And Ole, through just pure sticking to his guns, his resilience he's shown has been, as Nick said, has been pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He's going to get, I've said before, it's going to be peaks and troughs. He's going to get decisions wrong. He's an experienced manager, but the fact that he's learning and the fact that he's taken us, he's definitely improved us. Anyone who's saying that Ole hasn't improved Man United is living in dreamland. He's definitely improved us. So, yeah, I'm with Nick. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. And even if ultimately Ole doesn't deliver us a title, he's taken us to a better platform than when we were before. So that's all we can ask.
I will say, though, Shane, also, I think for that Arsenal game, we hadn't done that badly until that point. We were on a little bit of a run. And I always remember loads left early because it was pissing down, wasn't it? And there were 2 kids from Manchester, real young, with their dads, who stayed to the end in the pouring rain to clap the crowd off. And I thought, yes. And I just thought sometimes, myself included, we can, you know, we concentrate on the negatives instead of the positives. And you think, we're doing all right. And if we're moaning about a draw at Leicester, then, and I'm thinking 8 points from 4, Jesus. You know, a couple of months ago, we were saying, well, we get 3 points from 4. Coggy, Nathan.
Yeah, just back on highlights of the year, I forgot to mention the Dippers not being able to celebrate winning the league properly. I mean, that, in the ground, that was enjoyable. Do you know something? There's still a lot of things that we need to improve on regarding the team, but I'm enjoying the football again, and it's been quite a few years since I've actually said that. Even towards the end of Fergie's regime, some of the football was dire, so I'm happy. I'm enjoying watching United again, and that's a damn sight better than it's been for quite a few years.
Nathan?
I think it, like Shane said, there'll be peaks and troughs. I think, you know, realistically, I think there'll be, you know, we could always be a couple of games away from everything looking doom and gloom again. But at the moment, you know, if we can get something out of the game in the week, then these three games that we've just played over the festive period, it'll be a good return. I think I said the other night when it was a draw for the League Cup semi that I'm happy to take City in the semi rather than risk it in the final, because I think they're not looking the best that they could possibly be. So if we could play them in 2 weeks' time whilst we're on a high and they're still looking a bit shaky, then why couldn't we win that? So I think, I think, you know, obviously take each game as it comes. We've got Wolves, haven't we, in the week, and I think, things are looking all right at the moment.
And taking the step back that I've tried to, for me, not just the games being on, but United doing well is really taking a bit of the pressure from going out in the street and just screaming at the madness of everything. So to have this spell right now couldn't have been any better after Leipzig. Right, so we're all fucking... Come on, let's give a collective fuck off 2020.
Definitely.
Fuck off.
Definitely.
Right, here's to 2021. Take care of each other and lots of love, lads. And Shane looks like he cannot wait to get into his bed. He looks a broken man at Christmas.
Listen, have a good new year, lads.
Cheers, everyone.
See you later.
Glory, glory. See you later, lads. Thank you.